good friends, welcome. It is 4 p.m. Central Time, and you're listening to my voice on the great GCN Radio Network. Right here every day now, Monday through Friday, 4 until 5 p.m. Central Time, and that means it's now time for INN World Report Radio. Good evening, good friends. My name is Tom Kiley. I will be your host for the next 1 hour or so, a little less than that now because of the top of the hour news that you just heard. And that, too, was produced here at the INN studios in New York City, about 1.5 mile or so, just directly north of Ground Zero. And I'd like to welcome you to the program. And I'm going to start off by saying that we're having a little bit of an unusual show today. Typically, we have, almost invariably, we have a guest for you lined up to join us to talk about some kind of topic that that we feel is important and needs to be discussed, and particularly if it is being discussed already by other sources from a different perspective, from a different angle, because as you are painfully aware of, I'm sure, the state of the corporate media, which is by far the largest media source that most people use, is in very, very bad shape. And they have a very narrow focus, and even within that narrow range of focus, they have a narrow, an even narrower, I think, perspective that they're allowed to approach the subjects that they're allowed to approach with. So that's what we do. We bring people on that can hopefully enlighten us on different issues. Well, we're not going to do that today. We had a little bit of schedule conflict at the last minute, and so I don't have a guest. So I want to invite you, the listeners, to be the guests today. So you will be the guests of the program, and I'm hoping that you'll give me a call. And I'm going to be giving out some books. I promise you that if I have a caller in each of the four segments, I will give out 4 books. So for the first caller in each segment, you're going to get a book. How's that? And we have several of them here. Some of them, let's see, two of them we've reviewed on the air with the author. Last week we did 2 great books, Dr. Mary's Monkey by Ed Haslam, and that's about how the polio vaccine was tainted back in the 50s when they were using monkey organs to produce it with, and they didn't understand about, for instance, retroviruses, viruses that are made from RNA rather than DNA. They didn't think that they could hurt people. Well, of course, AIDS itself is a retrovirus, so HIV is a retrovirus. So they didn't know about it, and then they found out too late they'd given out 100 million doses of this, and they had to play catch-up. And then the other one will be The Oil Card by James C. Norman, also very interesting. But before we talk about anything else, because you are going to be the guest today, let me give you the phone number, 866-582-9933. Excuse me. You can call absolutely toll-free, 866-582-9933. And you can be the guest today, and I would really appreciate hearing from you, particularly, friends, those of you who received books in the last few weeks. I've been shipping a lot of books out. I'm pretty much up to date. There are a couple more that I have to get out into the mail, but I just sent a big batch of them off last week. Give me a ring. Let me know what you thought of them, 866-582-9933. Now, I also realize that some of you may not feel comfortable on the air talking with me, so not to worry. We're going to try out some technology here. You can also contact me right now. I'm online on Facebook. INN has set up a Facebook site, and you can go there if you go to Facebook and you look for INN World Report Radio, and then you can come in and you can type me a question if you'd like, something that's on your mind, something you'd like to talk about. And either way, whoever contacts me in each of the 4 quarters of today's program, 4 segments of today's program, first person, I'll get your info, and we'll send out a book. And not to worry, because you can give my producer your info off the air after we get done talking. And certainly if you do it through Facebook, it's even easier. So that's the situation today. It's an all caller program as far as guests are concerned, and I hope that you take advantage of it, because I'd love to get some feedback from you. And in anticipation that there may not be a brave soul to step forward and break the ice right away, I've there's a few issues that I'd like to share with you, talk with you, and see what you think about them. There is this this issue of the Defense Department gone wild, I like to put it. it just seems that there are so many aspects to this direction that the Pentagon goes in, whether it be just making all kinds of weapon systems because somebody could conceive of them, somebody could think up of it, or getting weapon systems that we actually don't even need anymore because somebody's making a lot of money off it. You know, the famous revolving door at the Pentagon. But that's bad enough. But the propensity in the Pentagon to go places where, if you ask me, they have absolutely no business going. There is no good reason to go there. The only reason I can think of, a semi-legitimate reason, would be because we just don't want the other guys to get there first, and we need to know about it. But there are areas that the Pentagon wants to go into that really it's a sad state of affairs when we don't rise up, or when they just feel like they can go there. And what, here's a perfect example, the story that's been banging around for a few days now. Pentagon looks to breed immortal synthetic organisms, molecular kill switch included. The Pentagon is trying to breed organisms to do different jobs for it. The Pentagon's here. I'm going to read something here from Wired Online magazine. The Pentagon mad scientist arm have come up with its most radical project yet. DARPA is looking to rewrite the laws of evolution to the military advantage, creating, quote, synthetic organisms that can live forever or can be killed with the flick of a molecular switch. As part of its budget for the new year, DARPA is investing $6 million into a project called Biodesign, with the goal of eliminating, quote, the randomness of natural evolutionary advancement. How about that? Eliminating the randomness of natural evolutionary advancement. So not only is it that the human beings figure they're smart enough now to rewrite the genetic code, but of all humans, lunkheads in the Defense Department figure they're smart enough to do this, okay? Let's continue here. The plan would assemble the latest biotech knowledge to come up with living, breathing creatures that are genetically engineered to produce the intended biological effect, whatever that is, okay? I bet it'll have something to do with killing human beings, all right, that haven't been bioengineered to thwart off such creatures that the Pentagon can imagine. I mean, what job would the Pentagon have for biologically created creatures if it didn't have something to do with killing people? In any case, let's take a look here. DARPA wants the organisms to be fortified with molecules that bolster cell resistance to death, so that monsters can ultimately be programmed to live indefinitely. Of course, DARPA's got to prevent the super species from being swayed to do enemy work. So they'll encode loyalty right into the DNA by developing genetically programmed locks to create tamper-proof cells. I mean, this is, I thought this was like a joke or something, but I'm afraid that maybe they're really serious about this. Crazy stuff. So how do you feel about human beings in general, but in specific, the Pentagon, monkeying around creating creatures, and not just bioengineered creatures, but creatures that will just live indefinitely or live for a very long time? You know, isn't this what we're supposed to be watching out for? We're creating things that just accidentally take over? Anyway, give me a call. 866-582-9933. We're going to be right back. You are the guest today right here on INN World Report Radio. This is Tom Kiley. We'll be back after this.
America, you are being tested, but here's where we study for it. From 1/2 mile north of Ground Zero in New York City, you are listening to INN World Report Radio with Tom Kiley. Now, daily on GCN, 4 until 5 p.m. Central. We'll be right back. For 9 years, the alternative media activists at INN have produced national daily television news and information programming, top-of-the-hour radio news briefs, and INN World Report Radio. News talk radio that brings you real news the networks won't tell you, and all of it 100% certified neocon-free. To find out more and for details on the stories we are following, go to innworldreport.net.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Good friends, welcome back. This is a somewhat special edition of INN World Report Radio. We come to you, I like to say this at the top of each segment so that we can get the little housekeeping out of the way, but we come to you now 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, right here on GCN, 4 until 5 p.m. Central Time. And almost every single show, maybe this is one or two exceptions, we have a guest for you. Today I had a little problem in my scheduling, a little conflict. And there is no guest today, so I am hoping that some of you will step forward and call. We've been on the air here for about 2 months now, and maybe a little longer. So I'd like to get some feedback from you. How are you enjoying the program? Is there anything that you would like to see us cover, maybe that we're not covering, and so forth? It'd be great to get some feedback from you. So why don't you give me a ring? 866-582-9933. It'll be completely painless, I assure you. 866-582-9933. Everybody has something to say. Everybody has something that they can contribute. And that's the way it works. We all learn from each other. Hopefully, we here at INN are doing our job the right way, and we're getting some good information out in front of you. On that score, we're going to have a very, very interesting program tomorrow. Barry Zwicker, the Canadian 9/11 truth person. Actually, he's an activist that's been involved in the peace movement for quite a long time. But he will be joining us tomorrow. And I've asked Barry onto the program because he recently put out a piece. I believe it's in 911blogger.com. You can take a look. That's an interesting website to go to, friends. I don't know if you make that one a stop on your regular list of websites that you check out, but I typically get to that. At least I try to get to it once a day or so. But there's a wealth of good information that comes there, particularly from the 9/11 truth perspective, 911blogger.com. But it also goes into a lot of other areas that are sort of tangentially related to 9/11, such as, you know, overreaching government's secrecy and things like that. But in any case, Barry put a piece up there a few days back about what is a serious problem, if you ask me. The problem that the peace movement, which has been around for quite some time, has with 9/11. There are so many traditional, what you might call alternative media groups and activist groups that are, you would say, considered to be liberal, left-leaning, that sort of thing. And most of them, you know, they'll tell you all day long about what monsters George Bush and Dick Cheney were and how many laws they broke and torture and so forth. But when it comes to talking about 9/11, it's an incredible amount of them, proportion of those same people, will suddenly turn into George Bush's PR man or woman and start telling you, you know, oh, you're crazy, it's a conspiracy and so forth. The same people that just got done telling you about how George Bush never said an honest thing in his life, and suddenly when you bring up 9/11, they go nuts and they actually get angry. So why is it that the anti-war movement, for instance, doesn't seem to get it when it comes to 9/11? The very basis of the wars that we're in right now, the major fighting wars that we're in right now, the very, very basis. A replay of the Gulf of Tonkin incident, for instance. you know, what is it about the peace movement that figures that there are no more Gulf of Tonkin incidences, that the government is being straight up with us about 9/11 and what happened on 9/11. So we're going to talk with Barry about that tomorrow. I thought it was a very, very interesting piece, and Barry's got a lot of experience in the anti-war movement and now in the 9/11 truth movement. So we'll have him on. Thursday we're going to be talking about nuclear weaponry and nuclear disarmament and so forth. And then on Friday we're going to have we'll be speaking again about China and the emergence of China, like we did last week, and the policy that seems to be that a lot of people think sort of underpins what we're actually doing in places like Afghanistan and Iraq, which is China containment, surrounding China geographically, getting forward bases put out there, and also to control or disrupt the flow of resources into China. China does not have enough oil in the ground, that at least they know of anyway, to sustain itself. It apparently needs to import about half of the oil that it uses, and that is at today's rate. Now, everybody should know by now that the Chinese economy is just booming, and I think it's only just getting started. So obviously that's going to get worse and worse as time goes on. So we have enough oil. Doug Guthrie was our guest on last Friday. He'll be back again this Friday. That's what we're going to talk about the containment policy, it looks like, that is going on with China. We've had a couple of guests on now, and it's important because China, about 600 years ago, went into an isolationist phase, okay, that was probably I don't know if it was the world's greatest empire, but at the time it was the world's greatest empire in that part of the world. In any case, I think when the Europeans were just starting to learn how to go across the great oceans with the Nina and the Pinta and the Santa Maria, the Chinese had great sailing fleets that would go to Africa and places like that and bring elephants back to China. That's how large their ships were, okay? And then for some reason, a Confucian reason, they went into an isolationist mode around 1420. And that's what you would know if you listen to the program. That's what Doug Guthrie was telling us. He's out of New York University. He's a sociologist and he speaks Chinese and he helps actually from a business perspective, the Stern School of Business there at NYU. He helps people understand how to do business in China, and he's a historian as well. So we got some very interesting perspectives from him on China. He'll be back again on Friday. So that's how we round out the rest of the week. In any case, what do you think? Give me a ring. 866-582-9933, and I'll give you a book straight up. Yeah, give me a call, and I'll be happy to hear from you. We do not have a guest lined up for you today. Unfortunately, we had a bit of a scheduling issue, and so I'm counting on you, the listeners, to be our callers today and our guests today. After all, it is your program, and it's for you. It's yours. We try to serve your informational interests and needs, and it would be great if you can give us a ring and let us know what you think. Now, let me get back to this Pentagon story that I was talking about, how the Pentagon is actually trying to create organisms that will, you know, live a very long time, very hardy organisms. It doesn't go into details on what it is that they want these organisms to do, but you know that if it's the Defense Department that wants to do it, it's going to have to involve killing people somehow. So how do you feel about the Defense Department working on creating organisms to kill people? And that'll be very strong and hard to stop unless a special biological kill switch is thrown. But, you know, the best laid plans of mice and men. And then it's not just organisms. They're also trying to build robots to do the same thing. But we'll talk about that on the other side of the break. This is Tom Kiely, INN World Report Radio. We'll be right back after this.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
good friends. Welcome back. This is Tom Kiley, INN World Report Radio, 5 days a week right here on GCN, 4 until 5 p.m. Central Time. And hopefully you also enjoy our top-of-the-hour news briefs that we provide GCN and many other radio networks and stations out there. We try to get you news at the top of the hour that you're not going to be hearing on more neocon-type outlets and so forth, and because it's out there. There's plenty of information out there, but you know, you can't, no one can put it all up for you. So there's a selection process that has to take place. And therein lies the rub. It's my contention that the corporate media uses that selection process in a very narrow way, in a way that suits, them and it suits, the powers that be. I call it the oligarchy that runs the corporate media, but, oftentimes does not suit you. Think about it. Were you suitably warned about this economic collapse, or did you see a bunch of people on television cheering you into the abyss and telling you bye, 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 and screaming at you? Who's that guy? That there's a guy on CNBC that he gets his voice hoarse. Did they tell you the truth about the fact that there were no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, for instance? And we can go down the list on and on and on. They get everybody to watch. They fill everybody's heads with a bunch of nonsense, and then they take no accountability, no responsibility for it. Anyhow, that's why we do the alternative media. But today is a little bit of a different show, friends. We don't have a guest scheduled, and we're relying on you, the caller. So you can call in 866-582-9933. I'm giving away some books here, and we have a couple of guys on the line right now that we're going to go to, and both of them are getting a book because I said I was going to give away a book each segment, and we didn't give one away in the first segment. So first, let's go to Scott in Wisconsin. Hi, Scott. How are you today?
Hey, Thomas. Welcome to GCN, my friend. I just wanted to congratulate you for getting on board, and it's great to hear you talk against the dogma media.
There you go.
But I wanted to address this, what you were talking about earlier. And it kind of surprises me because I am a spiritual man.
Mm-hmm.
What did we look at with that? And I wouldn't put it past no that they will try to do this, because let's take a look if martial law ever broke out in this country. And there's some of our soldiers that would be coming home from, say, some of the wars overseas, and their own family members. You know, if they were told to shoot their family members, do you think their brain would be able to comprehend that? But I can see them with this other side. These guys won't have a brain, and they wouldn't hesitate to shoot a human being. Could you comment on that?
Excellent point, and I think you're spot on, because the way I look at it, it's like this, right? They've eviscerated a government that is supposed to be functioning for we the people, okay? So you can't go to the government for redress anymore, or proper redress. They've got a media that doesn't do its job as a watchdog anymore. So what do you have left? The only thing you have left is to go out and protest, right? And, well, I think, Scott, that makes for bad pictures on the evening news. We're supposed to be in happy land here. Everything's supposed to be just wonderful and great. We can't have images of people fighting in the streets. And even, you know, that even may get out of hand as well. So what do we have? Now we have a whole slew of supposedly non-lethal weapons, okay, that can clear the streets of protesters. They started testing it out in Pittsburgh at the WTO meeting that they just had up there last year. Clear the streets of protesters, ear-piercing sounds or heat rays and things like that. Because, you know, we haven't been quite broken down yet where we will accept the Tiananmen Square here in these United States with the police and the military gunning people down. But then you bring up the excellent point, which is, well, we can't rely on our troops to do that. So why not create organisms that don't have a heart and soul and a brain to do that? But I got news for you. Even beyond that, they want to develop robots that can do that. Okay, talk about not having any kind of living tissue in you at all. Robots to do just what they're programmed to do. What do you think of that?
Well, you know, yeah, that's right, Thomas. You make a great point there, too. Let's take a look at the drone. Okay, it doesn't have a person in it, right? But yet it can do bomb places and go in and hit targets and that. There's a prime example. You don't need a human being in that as a pilot of that. So there's no question. I wouldn't put it down, Thomas, that they already got these robots already built. and they just are waiting to implement them at the right time.
Well,
I understand what you're saying. This is all a government that has turned away from we the people, and I wouldn't put them past them from doing anything to us.
Well, you bring up another good point, Scott, because actually I read just exactly what you were talking about years ago in the New York Times when they first started talking about the military at the end of the first Gulf War, when everyone was so ecstatic about our so-called smart bombs that we had and everything. And they were talking about, you know, where this is going to go. And I believe right now that Predator drones are controlled by people, but they're back, you know, in some base someplace, and they're doing it through you know, television cameras and things like that to see which way they want to go. But the article I read many years ago said, but in the future, these machines will be programmed where they will be totally independent of human control. And to you, it, almost exactly what you just said, they said, you know, warfare up to the present, if you talk to fighter pilots from World War II, they'll tell you, you know, when they were on a strafing run, for instance, they could see the other people that they were shooting at. And sometimes maybe, you know, a kick of the rudder one way or the other could kill somebody or not. And sometimes for one reason or other, maybe they made a decision not to go all the way because the job was done and enough carnage had taken place, whatever. The New York Times article that I read was saying these machines are not going to have any care about that whatsoever. They'll hunt you down relentlessly. Mm-hmm. Is that where you were going?
Well, that's right, Thomas. We're on the same path, but... You know, I don't know if you knew about this, if you talked about this in the past too, about all these prison FEMA camps that we got around these countries. And so many people aren't aware of this, where they got new barbed wire up around the fences and all that. And that's just another subject that maybe you better, if you haven't covered, to do a little diagnosis, because I have, and there's no question that they will. Down the road, if they keep compressing, it's like a wild animal, right? You try to put it in a corner, and you can only tease it so long, and then it's going to lash out. So I think that we, the American people, are strong people, but I think it's getting to the point where the people have nothing left to launch out, and I'm sad to say that.
Scott, it looks like the very strength of the American people that you talked about has become the enemy to the powers that be. And to your point about FEMA camps, it goes way back, okay? If you can remember, during Iran-Contra, it came out that all of the North was involved in a project to create concentration camps because they believed that if they wanted to go into Central America, even if the American people told them, no, they can't do it through their representatives, which they were told with the Bolin Amendment, okay, and they went ahead and did it anyway, if people protested against it, they had a list of about 400,000 people back then that they were going to round up. And when they tried to talk about it, I think it was Representative Jack Brooks from Texas, and you can look this up. It is on film, and you'll probably see it on YouTube. But in open session during Iran-Contra, Jack Brooks asked about this program, and he was stopped dead in his tracks by Daniel Inouye, the senator from Hawaii. Now, these were joint hearings in those days, House and Senate, and he said, I believe we agreed that we were only going to discuss that in closed session. Okay, yeah. But you can see that way back during Iran-Contra, these things were being planned. But anyway, Scott, I want to thank you very much for calling.
Okay, Thomas, well, thanks for letting me get in there, and you keep up the good work.
I'm going to send you off a book, Scott, and Dennis, you're next, so hang in there. As soon as we get back from break, we're going to talk with Dennis. You'll be getting a book in the mail, and then call us back, Scott. Let us know what you thought of the book, all right?
Okay.
Thank you very much. All right, good friends. This is Tom Kiley, INM World Report Radio, and we're going to take a short break here. We're going to come back for our final segment, and I'm giving away books, so give me a call. Call, and you'll get a book, all right? That's it. Very good. You're the guest today. Usually we have guests for you, but today it's you. And
America, you are being tested, but here's where we study for it. From 1/2 mile north of Ground Zero in New York City, you are listening to INN World Report Radio with Tom Kiley. Now, daily on GCN, 4 until 5 p.m. Central. For 9 years, the alternative media activists at INN have produced national daily television news and information programming, top-of-the-hour radio news briefs, and INN World Report Radio. News talk radio that brings you real news the networks won't tell you, and all of it 100% certified neocon-free. To find out more and for details on the stories we are following, go to innworldreport.net.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back. This is Tom Kiley, INN World Report Radio. Usually you are listening to a guest in this part of our show. Today we had a little schedule conflict and we don't have a guest. You are the guest, so I invite you to call. We've got Dennis on the line. We're going to get right to Dennis in just a moment, but let me give you the number, 866-582-9933. Call me up and tell me what's on your mind. Tell me what you think of the show, and I'll be happy to send you off a book. You can give your information to my producer offline. You don't have to worry about giving it to me on the air, and I'll be happy to send you off a book just for calling, because I appreciate when you take the time out to give us a ring. So let's go now to Dennis. Let's see here. Just one second. And Dennis is calling from Connecticut, right? Not too far from here. How you doing, Dennis?
Hello?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You're in Michigan. I was looking at the wrong line on your address. I apologize, Dennis. How are things in Michigan today?
Yeah, welcome, Mr. Kiley, to this, or Kiley, is it?
Yeah, Kiley, that's right.
To this GCN network.
Have you been catching the show?
I was not aware of it. I was flipping on my little VLC player on the internet, and of course, I have it set with channel 1, 2, 3, 4, and then other networks, like MicroFax, different ones. And channel 1 is the first one to come up unless I click to another one, so by default, you were right there, and I'm like, oh, neocon free. That caught me right away. I was making some dinner, and that's great.
Guaranteed, certified, neocon free. Well, listen,
when I heard INN,
go ahead.
The news blurb, I really like Webster Tarpley, and the news blurb that they have on his, before his show all the time, they always have the INN report.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have kind of a question of order here. It's like, how come for like the longest time they would play the same clip there? Was that, it was like a loop, like Lakmar, some person, you know, it was always the same recording, you know, like week after week. And I
you mean the same
INN.
News, the same news clip?
Yeah, and then Barack Obama and the Jobs thing, or, you know, it was just the same loop, like it was stuck in the same
line. I don't know why that would be the case, because we produce those every day here.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I figure, yeah, and I was just kind of, it was really odd, and it was always a lot better news than the other news that they play on there. Is a regular, it's like the news you just hear on the local news station, you know, that's just the usual stuff, you know. And I could tell it was like an alternative news, but.
Well, I don't know. You know, if you call the station and tell them about it, because, you know, we produce those during the day, and then they have to come and grab them. There's a feed that they get, and maybe they have an old setting, so they were getting the same one instead of having it changed.
Yeah, it would always be, I'm Eastern time, so it would always be before the 2 o'clock or the 3 o'clock segment. I can't remember. Or Tarpley would be on 2 to 4,
mm-hmm.
and before one of those would always be the same, you know, report. And anyway, that was it's maybe someone from GCN, you know, hears that or whatever. Although I have heard new ones lately.
Okay.
I don't know if they finally broke out of that or something. But,
did you ever catch, Dennis, did you ever catch our television program? We had a TV show on for about 7 years on.
No, I'm going to, though. I went to your website, and I see that you have a TV show. Yeah. Well, and you're right near, you're in Manhattan there, huh?
Yeah, well, let me tell you about that. We were on the Dish Network satellite system for almost 7 years, and then yeah, then we went off in May of last year, and we're putting a new show together, but we do still put up some news briefs on the, on television news briefs on the web. And I can tell you another thing, we are on the west side of Manhattan, straight up exactly about 1/2 mile north, I would say, of the World Trade Center, which impacted us when that happened.
You were there.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I was working for a financial software company at the time, and one of my clients was in the top of the World Trade Center in the North Tower. And a pretty famous firm called Cantor Fitzgerald that I worked with.
I've seen reports about them.
Yeah.
I was gutted.
The whole tower came down, so
the personnel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was devastated. Let me tell you a little bit about that if you want to know. It's I was putting a new system in there for the whole year before September 11th, so I was going up there usually on average once or twice a week. And fortunately, the last time I was up there with those folks was on September the 5th. And in addition,
you say a new system, like,
well, it was an updated version of a system that they were using to do bond trading with, and we had made a newer version. So I was.
Did they take the bomb sniffer dogs out of there the prior weekend? You know, that was one of the.
I don't know about that, but I can tell you something that everybody who went there could tell you also, which didn't get much coverage, that they were doing what I would say mysterious work on the elevator shafts in that building. I thought it was for about a year beforehand, and you know, because you're going in there to see your client, you want to get up to them. Cantor was all the way up at the top of the building. So, you know, you maybe you're running a little behind schedule, and you're looking at 2-3 good elevators that you can't use, and they got guys in monkey suits standing in front of them making sure nobody
goes in.
Can
I tell you what
there.
Convinced me that was not the jet planes?
What's that?
And it wasn't that long. It was like a year and a half ago or something, was the pyroclastic nature of the clouds coming out of everything was ground to a pulp.
Mm-hmm.
And if that building was only pancaking and crunching, it would not do that. There would be large chunks of concrete.
Sure.
And that concrete was blown to smithereens.
Well, I was covered in it.
And it looked like Mount St. Helens.
That's exactly what it looked like.
Pyroclastic.
I was covered in it. I couldn't make it inside in time. I was walking up to the base of the buildings with some cameras to take some pictures.
That was what got me, because I was kind of like, nah, Building 7, yeah, but no. You know what I mean? It was just kind of like...
So you recently came to 9/11 Truth only about a year or so ago? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, a year and a half
So before
But I've known since the 90s. I knew something. I was smelling a rat since, like, the 90s, because after the Cold War, it was like, okay, this Cold War ended, so now we can get on with, like, peaceful type things without money.
Yep.
And it wasn't happening.
Yep.
And the terrorism wasn't really being blown up that much, no pun intended, but it got to be obviously huge after 9/11. But you know, I was still like, you know, I'd look at why the towers fell. I remember watching that with my now deceased brother, and we would speculate, so how'd that happen? You know, how'd those fall? And you know, PBS put that on like the year or two after.
Yeah, and that the PBS did the pancake theory.
Right.
Which was silly because they didn't even realize how dumb it was themselves. If you remember the 3D modeling that they used to show you the pancake theory, they left the central core standing, remember?
Yeah.
In PBS's own demonstration to you about the pancake theory, they left the central core standing, which is why the pancake theory is ridiculous. You can go back, friends, and look at it. It's amazing. They're trying to tell us that, oh, the floor is pancaked. And unfortunately for that theory, you know, the World Trade Center was built kind of like, remember the old 45 RPM records with that big thick core that they used to be able to stack them up on the record player.
Right. Oh, yeah. Got one sitting about 3 feet from me.
There you go. So if you think of the floors kind of like the 45s,
right,
and the central core like that cylinder that you'd stack them on, well, okay, fine. When the last record goes down to the bottom, you still have the core standing. How does the pancaking explain the
right.
destruction of the core, which had no floors in it? That was
right.
hollow, right?
So. Yep. Yeah, I spent like one whole Saturday, like, for hours and hours and hours. There was a couple websites that were getting into that. And then after that, I was like, oh, crap.
Well, you
know, there's economic stuff. Richard Cook, a lot of good stuff like that. And because we think, many friends and I think, if we get a hold of the economic system back, ground up and top down, it can change this whole thing.
Well, Dennis, I want to thank you for calling. Also, go to Architects and Engineers. David Chandler has a.
I'm hip to that.
Yeah, David Chandler has a great demo on there about explosives. I'm going to send you out a book, Dennis. Thank you for calling. I'd like you to call back after you get it and take a look at it.
All right.
Thank you. All right, good friends. That wraps it up for today. You were the guests today. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking with Barry Zwicker about the 9/11 movement and the peace movement. Why don't they get along? That'll be tomorrow's show. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll be back with you 4 p.m. Central Time right here on GCN. Have a great night, folks.